Good afternoon. This day, I will open the floor to all of you and allow you to present your questions, but I will pose one question to all of you that you can ponder and that we can begin our interaction with, and that would be, what would you express or define as the most affecting or the most difficult obstacle that you experience that prevents you from doing what you want to do? What stops you from doing what you want to do or being who you want to be?
Not good enough. My level here. Not good enough.
Not good enough.
Not quite good enough.
And carrying that perception with you that you aren't good enough and therefore you can't do what you want to do. And what is it that you want to do?
I don't want to talk about it here.
Oh!
Because I'm not quite good enough.
Oh, there is a tremendous reinforcement. Very well. And in that, what is your evidence?
None.
None. No evidence, but you believe it.
Absolutely.
And what do you do to reinforce to yourself that you don't have any evidence to support that, and therefore to practice expressing differently? Or do you?
I do practice expressing differently.
And what do you do that expresses differently?
I'm taking more pride in how I dress every day and how I present myself. It's been the biggest thing. Like today, I flat ironed my hair. Normally, I wouldn't have cared. I put on some makeup. Normally, I'm like, because I've just been so beaten down for the last 10 years or so that you don't even want to do things like that. You know?
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I'm in the gym 3 hours a day now.
Excellent.
So I realize I have that perception, but I'm choosing differently than the perception. I have to take the action. And I'm being intentional, and I'm being who I want to be.
And is that changing what you believe?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, because I get the imagery now. Like we talked about in our last session with Times Square, which is release. I get the imagery, and I'm starting to believe the imagery. It's just like when I pulled out from your session the other day. I mean, on Mary's Little Street at the end, I was thinking about a focus that we talked about, Dorian Lee, and what an extravagant lifestyle, gorgeous lifestyle she has. And as we were pulling out, $250,000 Bentley pulls up beside. So what's the odds that a Bentley is going to be in Brattleboro? You know, and pull up. So you know, you watch. I'm beginning to believe the imagery.
Congratulations.
And then driving up here, Sandra was saying, "What kind of Jaguar did you used to have?" And I said, "I used to have a brown Jaguar." Well, within a minute, we're behind a brown Jaguar in Brattleboro. You know, a sexy little convertible. So I'm going, okay, I'm going to believe the imagery now.
Very well. Congratulations. And what would others of you express that perhaps remains an obstacle for you that prevents you or stops you from what you want or who you want to be? Yes.
I'm still, even though I fight against it in my own mind and talk about fighting against it, I still worry about what other people think. If I'm going to work a certain way, I also, and again, I'm not, I know I choose these other people in my life, I'm not trying to put blame on them. But you're looking, I'm looking for the main obstacle. Most of my things in my life are going very, very well. Even though I had a recent huge, Mary's aware of it, that I was in Bravo retreat for 7 weeks, I had a huge, as we've talked in our personal discussions, I created explosions in my life to get things going. This was a huge buildup in my life, this one explosion. It was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. I'm very happy with the experience, even though I suffered during it. But what happens then is that what the obstacle I still run into is that people in authority over me, say the state or the federal government, or right now, since my life was turned upside down, I don't have money to pay my federal taxes this year. So I'm afraid of those people. So I feel like they're stopping me. They have power. They have power over to take my car from me, if I get a house, to take my house from me. I have to make a payment plan with them. I'm trying to get back to the specific block, which is other people's, not just their opinion, but their power in society over me. I've had doctors trying to diagnose me as bipolar, which I know I'm not. I've researched the disease. I know that I have very severe post-traumatic stress that masks as bipolar. But then they have doctors telling me you have to take this medication or you're going to go crazy and hurt people, which I never did go crazy and hurt people. I'm not like that at all. But now my sister, who's a doctor, insists that if I'm not taking the medication, she won't let me see my nephews. You see, so I have to lie to her and tell her I'm taking the medication. I know that it's not good for me. It interferes with my Buddhist meditation. It clouds my thinking. It's not good. I'm not bipolar. I don't need it. I want to get back to your answer. The people in authority, the police, whoever they are, the government, now does have a direct, it's not just imaginary, it's not like Donald Trump's in my bedroom bothering me. It's real. In our exchange society, that I now owe money to the government, I now have doctors telling me that I'm sick, this sort of thing. So it makes me hesitate. I still fight them, I still get around them. But that's what, it doesn't block me in life, it slows me down. I'm tired of red lights. It seems like there's, and then I start to manifest in imagery, red lights on the road everywhere, red lights. When I want to move forward.
Excellent example. And very real. Now, what I would say to you in that is, you expressed several times that you continue to fight with it.
Yes. Try to find, well, yes, I'll let you go with that, because there is an aggression in that, and there is a resistance and a reaction.
It doesn't even have to have an aggression, but I would say that is an accurate word that you used in fighting with it. And in that is an excellent example, because this is an action that most people do. That fighting with something doesn't necessarily mean that you are expressing an aggression. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are outwardly opposing some other individual or some outside source.
Right, that's not the way I mean.
Fighting with something generally is when you continue to hold on to it and can't let it people that your perception moves in a particular direction. Let's use this as an example. You have been told by physicians or individuals that you view as authorities that you have a bipolar condition, but you don't agree with them. But in that, there is a fight, because the fight is that you don't agree with them and that you perceive you have to prove them wrong. That you have to show them that they are incorrect. Therefore, you have to be right. Now, let me express to all of you, it may not even be that dramatic for many of you. It may merely be a matter of you having to be right about something. Whatever you are expressing, for you, it is right. But if anyone disagrees with you, then you have to express yourself in a manner that shows them or instructs them or proves to them that you are right and they aren't. Your perception is right and their perception isn't. Which, if it isn't, then it means that they are wrong. But you don't always express that they are wrong, because that would not be very nice.
I don't have a problem with that, you know.
Well,
which creates more problems.
But many individuals would be careful of not expressing that someone else is wrong, because that isn't nice, or it is, in your present time framework, not politically correct. Then you are also very careful about being politically correct in this time framework, which that is an interesting perception in itself. But moving back to this subject, this creates a situation in which not only are you fighting with outside sources, but more so you are fighting with yourself, because you continue to hold to a certain direction, and that is what blocks you from not moving forward, not doing what you want to do. And it traps you. Just as you expressed with your sister that you perceive you have to lie to her, or you have to express falsely to see your...
Clarify for a second, though. This is an actual situation where she knows that if I'm not taking my medication, she will not allow me to see my nephews, whom I love very much.
Yes, I am aware.
So it's not just, you know, not a maybe thing. It's like a rule, you know what I mean? It's all that.
I'm aware.
Okay.
Yes. Which is setting up a situation in which something is important to you, the children are important to you,
very much.
And in your perception, the other individual is generating a dictate to you that...
A false dictate.
That you have to adhere to, or she will generate consequences. But actually, she isn't generating consequences, you are. And this is the web. This is how it becomes very tangled and difficult, because you automatically look at outside sources and see them as being responsible and against you, and that they are dictating to you in manners that you have to fight with. this is important because this is the matter of what you are projecting first. And this is the piece that is so challenging for so many individuals, is that you are so accustomed to focusing on the reflections that you aren't paying attention to what is creating those reflections. The reflection is always what comes after. What comes before the reflection is what you project. Before you even think about it, you are projecting an energy. You don't have to be thinking about what energy you are projecting in many, many, many situations, because what is your thinking mechanism? It is a translating mechanism. If you already know something, if you already know an energy, you don't need to translate it. If it is already familiar to you and you have been doing it for years, you don't need to translate it through thought. Therefore, you don't think about it, you merely do. And in that, your thinking isn't alerting you about what type of energy you are projecting. Fortunately for all of you, as I have expressed previously, you do reflect to yourselves continuously. Therefore, regardless of whether you are oblivious to what you are projecting, you always, always have reflections to show you what you are projecting. But the problem with that is that many individuals still view those reflections and objectively cannot quite make that connection of what they are doing that is creating the situation. That the authorities, the physicians, your sister, any other individual that appears to be opposing you or dictating to you or creating difficulties and obstacles for you that you don't like and that restrict you, all of that, all of it is a response. That you are projecting energy first. And all of what is being expressed to you is a reflection of that. Therefore, it is a matter of moving in a different angle and recognizing that you are projecting an energy that is creating all of this. That moves us back to the first example that was offered. You don't have to believe yet that you are responsible for what is occurring in your world. You don't have to believe that yet.
I already do.
But you don't have to.
I know, but it's too late.
It isn't too late. That is a plus.
Well, the secondary fight comes because I know all this intellectually from being around this and I'm losing the Native American stuff. Then I fight myself over this.
But you aren't doing it. That is the difference. You can know, or you can intellectually
understand.
Well,
I know, it's not a previous experience. I know.
But that doesn't mean that you are doing it. That is, as I was expressing, though, it moves us back to the first example, in which it doesn't actually matter what you believe or what you know or what you don't know. What matters is that you can simply identify two factors. One, that you aren't comfortable with whatever it is that you are already doing, which is obvious.
That's clear.
The second is do something different.
That's what you mean by coming at it from a different angle.
Yes. Do something different, even if you don't believe it yet. That what you are doing, you can see, isn't being successful and is creating a reality that is uncomfortable and that is not allowing you to be comfortable, is not allowing you to move in the direction that you want to move in, is not allowing you to have what you want. This is not a magic formula, but it is very real.
Of course, I know.
Energy is very, very real. Regardless that you think you can't see it, I won't say you can't see it because you actually could if you practiced. You could actually see it. But you think you can't see it. And in that, let us say you don't see energy. Therefore, you intellectually think that it is real, but you don't see it, and therefore you don't actually generate an association of it being real because you don't see it. But it is very real, and it moves, and it does. It does actions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you are directing all of it. You are moving it in specific directions, which is creating very real scenarios. And one of the most significant factors in that, which I have expressed many times, but this, once again, is an example, is that your perception is what actually creates your reality.
Yes.
Not what you think, not what you feel.
That's what stuff left out.
But perception does create your reality. Now, in that, if your perception is that no one will listen, no one hears you,
what they're pretending to be,
that you aren't important enough to be paid attention to seriously, that your perception of yourself may be that you are different from other people, and therefore other people likely won't accept you because you are different, then that is precisely what you will create. Other people won't accept you. Other people will oppose you. Or if your perception is that you are not important enough for other people to pay attention to, other people won't see you. They might stand directly in front of you and not see you there.
I experienced that directly when I was directly, exactly what you're talking about. And I shifted myself out of it by opening myself and communicating with people, starting with the people that I liked, and the whole thing completely shifted. I learned tremendous amounts when I was.
Now, I would say that this is another piece, is that many of you do actually generate time frameworks and moments and situations in which you are successful and you are paying attention to what you're doing and you are generating more confidence in how you are presenting yourselves or how you are expressing yourselves, and you are actually comfortable and successful for time framework, but you don't credit yourself with that because you don't credit yourself with that, you don't sustain it. And you wonder why, when uncomfortable or negative or bad experience happens, that they seem to last longer. You definitely credit yourself with bad experiences. You definitely pay attention to them. And you definitely acknowledge them. But you don't do that when you generate successful experiences. You don't actually physically say to yourself, I did that. That was me. I did that. I was successful. 1 point for me. You dismiss it. You don't think about it. You see how powerful it is when you acknowledge what you aren't doing. You see, you give yourself evidence very frequently when you are not successful, when you're being a failure, when something happens that you don't like or that you didn't accomplish in or was difficult. You acknowledge that. And you see how strong that is, but you don't apply that to when you do something as an accomplishment. It is all energy, my friends. It all moves the same. The formulas, the practices, the actions, they are all the same. Whether they are good or whether they are bad, they are all the same. But you pay attention to the bad because you don't like it. And what are you doing different with the bad? What are you doing different with the bad? Holding, and what else are you doing with the bad? Focusing on it. And what else are you doing? You are forcing. And reinforcing. How are you reinforcing it?
Concentrating.
Importance.
Talking to yourself.
Definitely
about it.
Making
yeah.
it.
Running it through your head.
And how else are you reinforcing it and making it important?
That's where you keep your attention. Judging yourself.
What do you do different with a good experience?
Let it go.
You continue. You don't stop.
Who said that?
Stop in your tracks.
Who said that?
You want to continue. You move forward.
You want to continue a good experience, but what do you do different with a good experience that you don't do with a bad experience?
Dwell on it and accept.
And what does that mean to acknowledge and accept it?
Acknowledgement is the recognition. And the acceptance in itself, the defining. You are still holding on to what you are.
Yes.
You you've acknowledged it. This was fun. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Precisely. Yes. And that is it. And you don't continue to think about it. And you don't continue to hold on to it. Because that is natural. And you aren't trying to figure it out.
That's true.
You aren't asking yourself, what did I do that made that happen? And what were the steps that were occurring that led up to this great experience? You aren't thinking about any of that. You aren't questioning any of that. You aren't questioning what you did or how you did it. But when you do something or experience something that you think is bad or uncomfortable or negative, that is the first thing that you do. What was I doing? How did I make that happen? Why did I make that happen? What am I doing in this moment? You stop and you begin analyzing. You begin questioning everything you do. You don't question yourself when you do something that you enjoy. You enjoy it. You don't ask yourself, how did you do that? You merely do it. When you want something and you are determined to have it, you don't analyze that either. You merely do it. I want to go on a vacation. And you do it. I want to purchase a new car. And you do it. You don't analyze it, you do it. But when you aren't comfortable, you are questioning yourself. How can I do this differently? What can I do, or what direction can I move in that will be more successful? Stop asking all these questions. Why are you asking all these questions? It isn't a matter of asking all these questions. You aren't giving yourself answers. You aren't fixing it by asking all these questions. You aren't enlightening yourselves or giving yourselves tremendous knowledge by asking all these questions. What you're doing is fighting with yourself, occupying yourself in manners that dwell on what you don't want, and continue to disempower yourself. It isn't a matter of asking all of these questions. What are you doing? How are you doing it? What direction should I go in? What is right? What is the wrong direction? What is the right direction? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? Merely do something different. What am I doing, and what can I do that's different? What am I doing now? What can I consider that is different? That I'm not doing, that I don't usually do. If what I am doing now is attempting to convince someone else that I am fine, perhaps doing something different is to not convince at all. Do not engage discussion about it. It doesn't matter. if I want to move in a particular direction, if I want to move to a new location, rather than evaluating what is the right location to move to, or where do I resonate with, or what will be the most efficient for me, merely consider what do I like. Perhaps I will attempt that. Simplify. I would express to all of you, you have been privy to this information long enough that you know that you are experts at complicating. And in that, simplifying is actually much easier and much more comfortable. If you are moving in a direction that you are questioning yourself tremendously and don't know what to do, you're definitely in a very crowded boat because most other individuals are in that same position with you. But in that, rather than speaking with all the other individuals and expressing to them, I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? Do you know what to do? What do you think we should do? Let us discuss what we should do. Perhaps merely stand on the boat and express, I am going to jump off the boat.
That's a good idea.
Standing on the boat in this crowd is not accomplishing what I want to accomplish. Therefore, I am not comfortable doing what I am already doing. I likely won't be any more uncomfortable jumping off the boat than I am standing shoulder to shoulder with all of these other individuals as clams on the boat. Therefore, perhaps if I jump off the boat, I will have much more room to be me and swim in my own direction. What is so terrible about being you? That is the bottom line. What is so terrible about being you? What are you such a failure at? What do you believe you fail so tremendously at? What you don't accomplish? You are here. You are breathing. You are functioning. Why are you so miserable? Why are you so dissatisfied? And who actually creates your reality?
You do.
We voted.
Oh, powerful me, which is the all-powerful you. No one else creates your reality besides you. You are the only one. No one co-creates it with you. No one creates part of your reality. No one creates parts at times. only you. Always only you. There is no official reality beyond yours that perhaps you must tap into and be a part of. No, there is only your reality. Yes, it intersects with many, many, many other individuals and many other realities, and there is no line between them. Stop trying to find the line between your reality and someone else's reality. There is none. It is only yours. And you create all of it. Therefore, what do you want to create? What do you want to do? I would say to each and every one of you that literally matters not what you would express to myself that you can't do because someone else tells you that you can't, or because there are authorities and officials and situations and rules that tell you you can't. It is a choice. Everything is a choice. It is a choice of whether you listen to that or whether you don't. And if you do, and if that is important to you, to listen to those authorities, then move in a direction of not fighting with them any longer.
Right.
It isn't necessarily bad that an individual believes that there are other individuals in authority of them, or that there are rules that you have to follow, or that there are laws that you are bound by. That isn't necessarily bad. When it becomes bad is when you fight with it. If it is important to you to follow the rules, then follow the rules and don't fight with them. If it is important to you to not follow the rules, then don't follow the rules and don't fight with it. So give yourself permission to not fight with it and be you. Whatever direction you move in, it is all about you. Every bit of it is all about you. Now, we will break, and when we return, I will open to all of you. You can present all of your questions as you so choose.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Continuing. And the floor is yours.
I don't want to talk the whole time. I have a very generic, unrelated to current issues question.
Who's speaking?
Oh. Hi, this is Kenji Marcel, supposedly. My question is, the Tibetan masters leave their bodies and die and then come back with conscious memory. How do they do that? Do you know? I mean, it's just, they'll tell you how they do it. But in Elias terms, describe the process, if you would, please.
Actually, this is an excellent question because it is associated with the beliefs about reincarnation.
Right.
Which, in actuality, you don't re-manifest.
Through the simultaneous time destruction.
Correct. You don't re-manifest. There is no reincarnation. But it is very understandable that you as humans would develop that type of philosophy based on evidence that you present to yourselves, that individuals have recall of what you think of as other lifetimes, other focuses, you have recall of. It isn't that they are re-manifesting or that they are reincarnating. What is occurring is every one of you holds memory in your body consciousness. But you don't only hold memory of this focus. You are essence. Essence isn't something separate from you. It isn't your higher self. It is you. And therefore, all memory of all of your focuses is stored in your body consciousness. Every one of your focuses incorporates the same memories. And that would be of all experiences, of all focuses, through all times. Because in actuality, you are manifesting all simultaneously. It is merely the configuration of your reality that plays out, in a manner of speaking, in linear time. But in that, yes, that is the reason that you don't re-manifest. It would be redundant. You are already experiencing all of your focuses at the same time. Therefore, it isn't necessary to generate reincarnation. But the idea of that and the philosophy of reincarnation is understandable because it seems that you have the evidence that you do re-manifest because you do have memory. And any one of you can tap into that memory at any given time framework of any of your focuses. Now, what I would say to you in relation to these individuals is that they are very practiced at recall.
Yes.
Most of you don't necessarily automatically recall memories of other focuses. You would generally require generating some type of method to access those memories and pull forward the recall of those memories of other focuses. But these individuals are very practiced at meditation and being in tune with all of the memories of different focuses, because that is a part of their philosophy. It is included in their philosophy.
Very much, yes.
And therefore, in that, what I would say is, in a manner of speaking, for those individuals, their perception of certain aspects of reality is closer to what actually is.
Yes.
Because they do recognize that they have more than one manifestation, and they do recognize that they hold those memories and that they can access those memories and that they can connect with all of those different focuses, those different lifetimes. And in that, they don't see themselves necessarily as a separate entity. They see themselves as a continuing
entity.
Very much so.
They speak them.
Yes. And therefore, in some capacities, they are somewhat closer to the actual truth of how you manifest, that you aren't all these separate entities. You aren't compartmentalized, and that you are one being. They do deviate from that, in that they also incorporate in their philosophy that they do incorporate the idea of the higher self.
Yes, in a sense they do. They are shifting. The Dalai Lama is shifting.
Everyone is shifting.
Well, yes, but I mean, but they are clearly philosophically shifting. The Dalai Lama has stated that he is now beginning to dismantle the so-called karmic wheel of life by admitting that there's no such thing as in real terms, not in imaginary. Well, part of imaginary is real. That there's no such thing as hell. It's a pretty silly idea that you'd suffer forever because of some silly mistake you made. And who would create those circumstances other than yourself, of course? But the wheel of life is being dismantled, because once you pull the plug on hell, the rest has to fall out. Animals are not human beings trapped in animal bodies because they've been naughty. That's stupid. Okay, in my eyes, it's retarded. And there's no... The idea of simultaneous time is in Buddhism. I found it. The Japanese philosopher Nishitani said these words: in Buddhism, all time is simultaneous, and it's stratified layers of time all happening simultaneously. So some of them do know it, but it's rare to find. I'm done. It's all right. Here I am yakking away to Elias. But they're shifting, and also the Dalai Lama says it's science, it's the science wave is coming. Contrary to Buddhism, he chooses science. So he's a pretty big authority. He's not the smartest guy on the planet, really. He's got his drawbacks. All right. I'm sorry.
There's no apology necessarily.
But I'm happy to watch them shift. This is a Catholic church, they're all shifting. You can watch it.
Everyone is shifting, yes. Yes.
Hi, this is Jean-François. And since we're talking about the Tibetans, a little blasphemous question here. So regardless whether they understand this as reincarnation and successive in times, they're identifying other focuses of a particular essence. So are the essences, are the focuses that have been identified as belonging to whatever essence is the Dalai Lama, is that really focuses of the same essence for the most part?
Meaning?
They have identified over time in history a series of focuses that are supposed to be the same essence. Is that really focuses of the same essence as the one that is identified as the Dalai Lama?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Okay. That's all?
Yes.
Thank you.
That is what I was expressing. They are aware of those memories. And they don't require specific memory methods to access those memories. They have that recall. Therefore, in identifying past focuses or past lifetimes, yes, they are actually identifying.
So these were accurate identifications?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you share the essence name of this essence of the Dalai Lama? I don't have any impression.
That was coming.
It's actually not my question.
One moment. Essence name, Saya. S-E-Y-A-H.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So
Daniel, quick follow-up question. So, I usually think that most of us have a variety of focuses in terms of types, male, female, order, each, etc., etc. But in case of the Dalai Lama, then, is one example where he or she is pretty focused on one type, right?
No.
I mean, they may have a thousand others, but...
Correct.
What if?
The ones that they are accessing in relation to that lineage are very specific. Therefore, the memories that they are accessing are a specific line that lead in relation to whatever is the current identification of the Dalai Lama. Then in that, it isn't that those are the only focuses that individual has, but that those are very specific focuses that are in a type of lineage.
Right, understood. But still, for the essence that you identified as Sayan or somebody, that is a very specific choice to be incorporating the whole lineage of focuses in similar position with the same nation, same focal leadership position, etc., etc.
I would say that it is not necessarily any more specific than any of you. That the difference is that you don't necessarily objectively recall different focuses that you have incorporated in a similar fashion. That all of you do that to a degree, just as I have expressed from the onset of this forum, that you generally do manifest in groups.
Okay.
You generally do, therefore you generally would be in objective interaction and contact with the same individuals in many different lifetimes, in many different capacities. But I would say that even within our forum, as you term it to be, there are individuals that have discovered different focuses that are similar, that incorporate a particular theme, or individuals have identified them as being chapter focuses.
Okay, so would you say that in this group, probably there are quite a few who have focuses of Tibetan monks, not Dalai Lama, obviously, but...
Yes, okay. At some point or another, yes, past or future.
Thank you.
This is Natasha. Just a follow-up question. I was curious about this essence. So, considering the name, to me it sounds female. So, is it more male or female, this essence, or it's not?
Sayan,
yeah.
I would say, in your estimation, it would be more of a male essence.
Okay, thank you.
Although I will qualify that and express that no essence is actually male or female, but you do assign in your reality some aspect of gender to them in relation to the tone, the name, which is that vibrational quality. Therefore, yes, it would be more male. Yes.
This is Mark. Going back to obstacles.
Yes.
Speaking subjects. the question. I'm not sure how to term this, but I'll do my best. Choice in regards to receiving energy from other people, how it's interpreted in my being, in my body, consciousness. I logically or intellectually understand that I have a choice, but I don't recall any specific experience of making it. Meaning I don't want to feel this from this other person I'm interacting with. Or to give you a simple example, next to someone who has anxiety, tapping into those feelings, my body is interpreting those feelings. I'm translating that into my body. And if I remember correctly, you made a statement that you said I have a choice do that or not do that. I'm not aware of any specific experience in my life where I've done that.
Because it isn't an intentional choice that you have engaged.
Correct.
That doesn't mean that you aren't choosing it. You are, by allowing it. Not that you are specifically choosing to be tapping into or engaging or feeling that other individual's energy. You aren't. You aren't intentionally doing that. But that doesn't mean it is not a choice. It is. Everything is a choice. The factor that you aren't aware of generating a choice doesn't mean you aren't doing it. In this, a choice isn't always an expression that you are actively engaging or intentionally engaging. It can be merely that you aren't not engaging it. Therefore, let me express in this manner. All of you generate a natural openness in varying degrees to each other. That is common to all of you. That allows you to create your reality very similar to each other because you are sharing that interconnectedness. You are sharing information constantly, and you are sharing energy constantly. Therefore, you all are sitting in this room. You all see a room, and the room that you are sitting in will appear to all of you to be very similar. If you describe it to each other, your description of it will be very similar. Because you are continuously sharing energy and information between you because you are all interconnected. That is a natural expression. That openness to each other in that degree is a very natural expression. Now, some individuals are more sensitive than other individuals. This is not a judgment of better or worse.
Thank you.
It is not better if you are more sensitive. It is also not worse if you are more sensitive. It is merely a difference. Some individuals are naturally more sensitive to their environment than other individuals. Being sensitive to your environment includes all of the energy of anyone or anything around you, and that you would automatically be allowing that energy and accepting it, receiving it. And in that, some individuals that do express more of a sensitivity in their environment, you do automatically assume that energy that is around you in the same manner that you do in relation to what you all share energetically, and therefore in that it isn't a matter that you are intentionally receiving the energy from an individual that is in physical proximity with you and that they are expressing anxiety and you are taking it. It is that you aren't not taking it. You aren't stopping it. You are allowing that action in the same manner that you allow any reception of energy. You aren't discerning and you aren't actively, intentionally choosing not to engage it. Therefore, that is the aspect of choice, which does occur in many, many, many situations and capacities in which individuals are generating a choice not to make a choice in certain capacities. Therefore, you can be affected, and in that, what your choice is to be aware this is other individuals' energy. You already know that.
Absolutely.
You can already define that. This isn't my energy. This is someone else's energy. Having that definition and knowing that you are receiving someone else's energy, you can choose not to. You can choose to buffer that out. And it doesn't require any specific elaborate methods to do that. All it requires is a choice in expressing to yourself, no, I am choosing not to receive all of these other energies. I can place myself in a situation, in a group of individuals. I can place myself in physical proximity to a family member or other individuals and not receive the energy that they are projecting out, because I choose to express no. That isn't shielding. That is different. That is merely choosing not to take in another energy.
So when I make that choice, it doesn't mean that I'm no longer receiving the information.
No, it does not mean that.
I'm just not.
You are not assuming
the feelings
it. Yes.
The same way the other individual is in my body, even though it's not the way I describe it. I'm aware that it's their feeling.
Yes.
I'm just interpreting it.
Yes.
I'm interpreting those feelings in my body.
Yes.
So I can make a choice.
Yes.
Not
and you don't
that.
Have to feel it
but
at all.
But I can still get the information.
Yes.
Automatic.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
The feelings that you feel,
yes,
are not the other individual's feeling. They are yours.
Absolutely.
Because
they're signals.
Yes, because they are signals. And no one else generates feelings for you. And
understood.
You don't.
I'm just interpreting.
In. Yes. Therefore, it is a matter of choosing not to do that.
So not interpret.
You can interpret without feeling.
Without feeling.
Yes, without generating the feelings. You don't have to include the signals.
So when you tell other people that the feelings are signals,
yes,
there's a potential for someone to become confused if they're actually sensing somebody else's feelings and interpreting, even though they're not yours. You follow my line?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
You are receiving,
you're receiving
the energy.
It's a signal.
You are aware that that energy is attached to the other individual's signal. You can actually identify that at times if you are paying attention or if
yes,
you are
absolutely
a sensitive individual.
Well, no.
In that, you either automatically receive that energy and you automatically configure it through your own feelings,
right,
and therefore you feel the same that the other individual is feeling.
Similar. It's like the room, like you said, you use the,
yes,
the room as an example.
Yes, it
room,
won't
everybody
be.
Everybody looks at this room, they see plywood, they see this.
Yes,
see that.
It won't be identical, but it will be very similar. In that, you can receive that energy, you can receive that information, and not generate the signal. Therefore, not include the feeling.
Right from the get-go?
Yes.
I'm assuming that takes some practice?
Generally, yes. Because if you are very accustomed to allowing that to happen, you will generally continue to allow that to happen. Therefore, yes, it does require practice to be aware and to intentionally not do it, which is very similar to what we were discussing previously, generating a different choice, doing something different. This is what you are accustomed to doing. This is what you are doing, and doing something different intentionally, because what you are doing isn't comfortable.
Thank you.
You are very
good.
Very,
very good.
This is Denise. On the same topic, as the person projecting the anxiety, would they feel anything different when someone says no to that?
No.
That's a great question.
Does that stop reflection of what you're projecting then? If they're not reflecting the anxiety back, they say no to it? Is there any reflection going on in there at all?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Yes. Remember, the reflection isn't a mirror.
Right.
Therefore, that doesn't stop a reflection from occurring. It changes it because it isn't being projected as a mirror. When you are expressing the feeling, very similar to the other individual, the one that is projecting it, then you are mirroring them. But without that inclusion of the feeling, then you are generally merely expressing a reflection to them. That doesn't change. Merely that you aren't including the feeling with it. You are welcome.
Okay. Hi, my name is Alex. My question is in relation to concentration. You've mentioned that concentration is expressed belief. So, as an example, let's say you wake up and you just aren't feeling well. For whatever particular reason, maybe it was in the dream state, whatever caused you in that moment just not to feel well.
Well, physically or
yes,
well emotionally?
Well, physically, emotionally.
Very well.
Either or. You can, if you're not feeling well, you could communicate with another person saying, oh, I'm not feeling very well. It's kind of like a funny feeling in the stomach. Something like that. Just as we can communicate those feelings using words, obviously, that what we're doing is describing what we're feeling.
Correct.
In terms of concentration, can expressed belief, what you're holding on to, so to speak, can concentration be literally anything? Like, if I say I'm not feeling very well, I could describe the feelings. And by and large, that would kind of describe what you're concentrating on to a degree. You can evaluate that and be like, okay, so this is what I'm doing, so to speak. I'm holding on to this. I can basically, in that moment, switch it and just be like, I'm not comfortable with this, as you've said. I've identified it and I recognize it. I can actually shift that. Can I make that my concentration now? Basically, any other expression of experience, so to speak?
Can you? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
So if I wanted to, in that moment, just think of sitting on a beach in Hawaii, drinking a Mai Tai, and all of the entirety of that particular experience, and then literally shift that, I'm not feeling very well, to, I'm so relaxed on the beach, just feeling comfortable, I can incorporate any sort of understanding or awareness into an experience by holding it within concentration.
There are two factors in this. And what you are describing are two factors. You are using the word concentration, and you are asking if you can change concentration quickly or even immediately,
yeah.
And yes,
and
you can. What you are describing is not concentration. What you are describing is attention, that you can awaken and feel not well, and you can shift your attention away from not feeling well, and you can place your attention on that beach and sipping that Mai Tai and feeling comfortable, and it will change your perception, and therefore it will change your experience at that time. Now, does that necessarily change your concentration? No, because your concentration is not the same. It is not synonymous with attention. Concentration is what you are holding that you aren't necessarily paying attention to. And it doesn't have to do with thinking either. Therefore, let me use a simple example of concentration versus thinking, one that I have used previously. Let us say that you are an individual that has experiences with other individuals significant in your life that engage substances such as alcohol. And in your experience, when these individuals engage this substance, they alter their behavior, and in your perception, not in a good manner. And in that, you begin to generate an association with experiences and that substance. You connect them together and you generate an association. and the association is that tag on the experience, on the memory, that says, not good. But then in relation to that association, you also develop a concentration. Now, you don't necessarily think about it. You aren't necessarily paying attention to it. But then you attend a party and everyone is consuming alcohol. And you do also to a degree, but then you become uncomfortable. And then you begin expressing judgments in relation to the other individuals that are consuming alcohol. And you begin to be uncomfortable and agitated and create a mood because of what is occurring around you. That is partially that you are paying attention to the individuals that are consuming alcohol, but how you are paying attention to them is based in that concentration. The concentration is there underlying, this is not good. I don't like it. I don't trust it. Therefore, that influences your attention to look for what you don't like and to find it. Therefore, in that, the concentration is not necessarily being affected in your scenario. Concentration is somewhat tricky for most individuals because it isn't a surface expression. It is definitely connected with associations and experiences. Your concentration is an underlying constant of what you believe in relation to any given subject. And it isn't necessarily all bad. You may have some subjects that are very good that are consistently being concentrated on. And when those subjects are presented, that concentration becomes activated and is very influencing. It influences what you pay attention to, how you pay attention, and it influences you in relation to what you feel. And it also influences you to concentrate on those feelings and therefore create moods. In this, how you recognize a concentration is such as with your example. You can change what your experience is in that moment, most definitely. That is not difficult. That is merely a matter of moving your attention. But if you notice that you repeatedly awaken and don't feel good, then this action of moving your attention may relatively quickly become dissatisfying. Because you have to continue to do it over and over and over again. And you continue to wake up and not feeling well. And therefore, you recognize that regardless of how many times I do this exercise and I make myself feel different, I continue to awaken every morning and not feel well. And therefore, I have to continue to do this over and over and over again. I want to merely wake up and not feel not well. Therefore, in that suggests there is a concentration in some capacity that is held that is affecting you. And in that, then it is a matter of evaluating, what are you doing? What are you presenting to yourself? What is around you in your environment? What is uncomfortable for you that you aren't necessarily paying attention to? But that doesn't mean that there isn't a concentration on that. This is also very often evidenced with individuals in relation to allergies. That their body is expressing a reaction and a rejection repeatedly about something in their environment. And the individual is masking it by generating some action to stop it, but they aren't necessarily addressing to whatever is actually bothersome to them that they are holding a concentration on. Whereas, if they were addressing to that concentration, that allergy would stop. Therefore, that is the difference. But yes, you can alter a concentration very quickly in some situations. In some situations, immediately, you could change a concentration if you know what it is.
Yeah.
If you discover it and if you can define it, yes. In many situations, you can alter that in a moment. It is merely a matter of being aware of what the concentration is. In relation to the example with the substance, an individual might identify that as a concentration, and in one moment, they could express to themselves, I actually don't believe this any longer. That this is bad or that this is harmful. I recognize and I acknowledge that I believed that when I was a child or for a considerable time framework, but at this point in my experience, I don't actually believe that any longer. And that association will be neutral. It won't change. But it will be neutralized and the concentration will break and it will stop. You don't change associations. You change the stamp. Remember, associations are the stamp on your memories. This memory is good, this memory is bad. You change the stamp by adding a memo.
Right.
This memory is bad, but it doesn't matter any longer. It is unimportant. Therefore, you don't actually change that association that if you have an association of this is bad on this memory, you don't suddenly think of it as good. You express, no, it was still bad, but it doesn't matter because it isn't important any longer. Therefore, in that, you, in a manner of speaking, neutralize those associations by recognizing what they are, but don't confuse yourselves in thinking that you change them because you don't necessarily.
use an example of doing that with the allergy?
With an allergy. Very well. Let us say that an individual has an allergy to a specific tree pollen, and that they are affected by this particular tree pollen every year at the same time of year, and it is entirely annoying and irritating to them, and they incorporate allergy medication and they mask the symptoms, but at some point decide, I don't want this allergy any longer. Now, what happens if you visit an allergist physician? How do they alter an allergy?
They don't.
They do, to a degree.
Yeah,
yes.
Medication.
No. How do they cure you of an allergy?
They give you the same thing.
They do.
Oh, right. That's right.
They do. They give you, they match it. What have I expressed in relation to that? Yes, like cures like. In that, what your allergy physician will do is they will give you the same pollen and inject it into your system. And what that does is then your body is responding to that. You are doing that intentionally. And your body expresses, oh, and it stops, and the allergy is cured. You can do that without that method. You don't have to inject or ingest any outside expression or manifestation that you express an allergy to. In this, let us say, with the pollen, with the tree, when you are at a point in which you actually become done with fighting with yourself, because masking it and incorporating medication and doing all of these actions is fighting with yourself.
Right.
It is not accepting what you are creating. You are expressing, no, I'm not creating this. Outside is creating this, and I don't like it, and I won't do it. But you are doing it. And in that, you are continuing to fight with yourself. But at some point, when you are tired of fighting with yourself, and you express to yourself that you are done with it, you can identify what that allergen is. What is it? Why is it bothering you? Why? Why does it bother you? Does it give you an excuse in relation to something else in your life? There is some payoff that you are continuing to fight with it. Therefore, if you are suffering from allergies, are other individuals more indulgent of you? Or are they irritated with you and therefore they leave you alone? Or is there something in your environment that you are dissatisfied with? Something is an irritant. If you can identify what the irritant is and make that not important, the allergy will stop. You are making it important by fighting with it. If you actually look at it and you see, I actually enjoy this tree. I actually am not irritated by my environment. The pollen from that tree will stop bothering you. If you aren't incorporating another reason that you are generating that irritant, many individuals generate allergies because of the responses and the reactions of the people around them.
Does that apply to kids a lot?
Definitely. Most definitely. In that, especially children, because they are not as articulate in expressing themselves or what is bothersome to you, to them, or defining what is bothersome to them. They are also not as clear in defining what they feel. They know what they feel, but they aren't clear in defining that in words. Therefore, they aren't as articulate in communicating to other individuals what is bothersome to them. Therefore, generating allergies is an excellent method of communicating dissatisfaction and irritation. And for the adults around them, then that is a matter of deciphering what is the irritation that the child is incorporating difficulty expressing. But yes, children do this considerably, a lot. Yes.
I had an allergy for many seasons, and one method I tried, I did not take the medication, but I allowed all the symptoms to come, and I just said whatever sneezing and crying and itching comes, I just feel it. I just feel it and do nothing. And I felt it, and eventually it subsided. So is there a validity to that method? And
yes,
so
that is a method, but that is... But everything is a method.
Yes.
And in that, I would say that that is a method of allowing yourself to stop fighting with it. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well,
therefore, it matters not how you stop fighting with it, but that is a key component.
So sometimes I may not know the reason for the fight, but starting fighting itself...
Yes, yes. Once again, we return to the theme. You don't have to know, you don't have to believe, you merely have to recognize what you're already doing that isn't being successful and do something different. That is the simplicity of it. It doesn't matter what you believe.
Thank you. I have two little examples that just happened in the last, I'm going to say, maybe 2 weeks. The first was with my cat, Tilly Rose. I noticed that she's listless and she's not eating consistently, and it really threw me into an association with my other cat, and I was worried about it, and I did nothing. Nothing, 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 except watch her, look at her, drive myself crazy, and then I said stop. And yesterday, I picked up the phone and called the vet and made an appointment. I know that's so simple, I don't care. And then doing that, I just said, okay, I'm going to let this go. And Tilly Rose, you and I are going to go to the vet, and what it is, it's going to be. And that's the first example.
Which is an excellent example. The reason that it is an excellent example, which I will articulate for all of you, is that what you were doing initially was the familiar.
Right.
Ignore it, not act, watch.
Worry.
Worry, be distressed, but not engage.
Not take it.
And not do.
Right.
Therefore, then, that triggered the memory
of Harold.
Yes, which was her previous feline. And in that, in triggering that memory, that motivated you to do something different.
Right.
And in doing something different, although it may not have felt entirely comfortable initially, and it may have been somewhat of an anxiety to do the different action because it is unfamiliar,
right,
and you don't know what to expect,
right,
with the different action.
Right.
But in that, you also were able to express to yourself, to the feline, whatever it will be, and we will do it.
Right.
Which stops
that almost immediately.
Constant anxiety.
Almost immediately.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's one. Here's two. I started this new little business, and I had been generating two clients. I could have more, but I just credited myself with relaxing and going, if I want it, it will come to me and I'll have clients. And they came. And then I began to worry about making too much money. Honestly, have you ever?
Yes.
Honestly. So I know, so I know you do. So I worried about that, and just the worry of doing that made me be afraid of the unemployment office, because I'm collecting unemployment and I'm getting money, and it's, to be honest with you, I don't want to get in trouble with the unemployment office because I'm trying to figure out how to earn unemployment but also generate income. But I was afraid to call them. Afraid. And then it went into epic proportions of, oh my God, Elias doesn't know anything about my epic proportions, or yours, I suspect. But, you know, I'm the only one that worries. Anyway, so I really, I don't have to go on, but I went on, and I was like, went into like, and then all of a sudden the work wasn't fun, and I was overwhelmed, and I was driving everywhere, and my printer ran out of ink, and suddenly I was a stress case, and all this stuff happened. Yesterday I finally called my friend Ellen, and I said, Ellen, what'll happen? She goes, relax, call them, find out. I said, oh. So I called them and found out. And the worst case scenario, they take 50% of my, they take 50% of my wages, or just reduce my, which is fine. The point is, it's not what they said, it was that I expressed my concern and they gave me a viable solution. And the big bad book, because I'm one of those rule people, I'm good with that. It's just the way I am. But they gave me the best of both worlds. I can continue to work, generate some income, and if I make too much, I can take care of it. It's not death and destruction. I took care of it. Tilly and the unemployment office. I know. And I credited myself because I instantly felt amazing. Because I was so exhausted. I was so happy to feel amazing. I went, oh, get down. You are so good. I didn't go into what the hell took you so long. Okay, for a minute. But pretty good, huh?
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yay. Relief, a good thing.
Oh, relief. It's like the duality thing of feeling terrible than feeling good. I'm like, oh, that really feels good. Okay, that's my story. I know. What I do? Oh, you want to? Ivan, the wonderful. Here he comes.
Hi, Elias. My first time here. Nice to see you.
Yay!
My question was about something you said before the break in regards to others not seeing energy. I was wondering if you could speak to what that experience is like and maybe how to get to that experience.
Of seeing energy?
Yes.
Any of you can do that, and it is not difficult. You merely think it is difficult, but it isn't. I would express that I have instructed many individuals previously in relation to this subject. It is merely a matter of practicing. Everything incorporates an energy field, and therefore you can begin with that, because that is the easiest manner to begin to see energy. Once you master that action of seeing energy fields, then you can begin to see energy in anything and watch it move. Everything generates energy, and everything has an energy field. Everything has an energy field. If it is a physical manifestation, it has an energy field. Regardless of whether it is a blue whale or a proton, everything has an energy field. Now, you are accustomed to using your senses in very absolute manners. This is the reason that magic is so wonderful, because all magic is an action of deceiving your senses. It fools your senses. Therefore, your senses are expressing in an absolute manner, this is what is possible, this is what is not possible. And magic fools your senses, to which they express, this is not possible, and you believe it is magic. In this, your senses are geared to engage obvious. Your sight is geared to engage the most obvious. Energy is not visually or actually sense-oriented obvious. It isn't. It isn't obvious to hear it, although it does generate sounds. It isn't obvious to see it. It definitely isn't obvious to touch it, although it touches you and you actually feel it physically at times. It even incorporates a scent at times. Now, how you begin to view energy is you choose to practice with anything, any physical manifestation. It is generally easier with what you term to be living manifestation. It's not that a table doesn't generate an energy field. It does, and so does a chair. But the energy field around living entities is more obvious because it is denser, and in relation to living entities, the energy field incorporates more colors. Objects generally incorporate only one color. Generally, that color is either white or silver or a very, very pale yellow, almost white. Beings, any living being, plants, animals, humans, any type of living being, generally does incorporate an energy field that incorporates color. Animals generally express one color. Now they can express variations of one color depending on what they are expressing. therefore, if they have a physical manifestation, ailment, that one color will also appear to have darker areas in it. Animals generally the color pink as an energy field. Plants generally speaking, an energy field that is a very pale yellow. It doesn't matter what type of plant it is. It doesn't matter what type of animal it is. They will generally be pink or yellow. Now, in each of those, as I expressed, if there is some malady or physical manifestation that either of them are generating, you might view a darker yellow in some areas of the energy field or a darker pink in some areas of the energy field. Humans and cetaceans generate an energy field that incorporates these color spectrum. You will generally express one predominant color, but you will incorporate all colors in the energy field. Humans and cetaceans are more complex as they do incorporate leaf systems, and therefore your energy fields incorporate all colors. In that, the manner in which you begin is you merely begin with white. White or silver. Everything in their energy field initially will appear to you visually as white or silver. It is very easy to see that. If you don't look directly at an object or a being, you can practice it. We will do it once again in this group. You can practice it in this very moment now with each other. Choose another individual in this group and look at them, but not look at them. Look at the edge of their head. Your head is the most concentrated area of energy on your body. Therefore, it is the easiest to focus on first. If you are focusing on myself, don't look for white. It will generally be a pale blue rather than white. And this, if you were looking at Michael, it would be white. In this, don't look directly at the individual. Look at their head, but off to the edge of their head, the edge of their hair. And merely allow yourself to relax your vision, somewhat defocus. Not quite staring, but defocusing in a relaxed manner. And you will begin to see a thin line of fear at the edge of the individual. You will begin to see that thin line of white or silver around some edge of their face or their hair. Then it will begin to spread to their shoulders and around their body. As you maintain holding that vision of that white, it will begin to expand slightly more and more. It won't be as thin around them. Now, as you practice with that, eventually, and it does not require much time in practicing, if you practice that several times, you will begin to see past pastel colors, very light colors come into focus around whatever human you are focusing on. If you are focusing on a different being, as I expressed, it will either be pink or yellow. If you are looking at a human, you will begin to notice the colors will begin to come into focus very lightly initially, and then they will begin to become brighter and brighter. One will be predominant. Most individuals generally, not always, but generally, will be projecting either a blue, a green, or a red predominant color. A very emotional individual or an individual that is expressing at any given time framework very emotionally will generate a predominantly yellow, bright yellow energy field. But in that, all the colors will swirl. It will appear to you similar to motor oil.
Oh, yeah.
The colors that swirl in relation to motor oil. That is a very similar appearance of an energy field. All of the colors swirl together, but there is a predominant color in each one. That does change dependent upon what the individual is expressing. Now, as you continue to practice with that, once you have moved in a direction in which you can see the colors, even if they are only the pastel colors, even if you don't move to the point in which you see bright colors, once you incorporate any color, then if you continue to pay attention and watch the energy field, you will begin to see how they move. You will see how they naturally move. If I move to you, there is an energy flowing from this aspect of the body which now surrounds this body. And this body will be projecting an energy that is connecting with this body. And they move back and forth. There will be an actual bridge that you can physically see that extends between them. You can watch an individual move the hand and the energy will follow it. Or you can watch an individual push and an energy bolt will move out from their hand or from another part of their body and move in a particular direction. It moves very fluidly. You will also notice that thin line that you see initially, when it begins to come into focus, so to speak, when you are actually viewing it more clearly, it won't be a thin line any longer. Most individuals incorporate an energy field around them on average of 2 to 3 feet. Individuals that are very open will generally express an energy field that may be 5 to 8 feet extended from their body consciousness. An individual incorporating an energy exchange may be extending their energy field 15 feet from their body. In this room, presently, all of your energies are all bumping into each other and mixing with each other because you are in close physical proximity to each other. And you are expressing an openness in which your energy fields are extending farther. Therefore, they are all mixing together and all reaching out and touching each other.
It's not very sanitary.
It is actually a very fun action to engage, and it can also be very informative without having to engage any physical conversation with any other individual, because you can discern quite a bit from what their energy is doing, and all you have to do is observe. Yes?
A follow-up on that question. This is Jason. Follow-up on that question was, Gene had recommended a book to me about a boy that was born with that natural ability to see that energy, but he could also see fairies and occasionally dead people. Does that flow into that?
You can. I would express that if you are practicing with an energy field, then you would be much more open to actually using your senses, your vision, to engage what you don't normally see. There is much in your reality that you don't see all around you. Yes, you can. You would have the ability to see many different energies. Your animals do. They see all those energies. I would express to you, and the animals see dead people also.
I vouch for that.
I see one right now.
Me too! Oh my God!
This is Ken G. This is fun, I'm doing. This is good. It seems like an obvious question, but and I think I know the answer already, but you might want to talk about it a little bit. Do the colors that we see around humans relate to the activity of the energy centers and the colors therein?
Oh, I was going to ask that
because
question.
Diagnosis
good
occurs,
question.
I'm sure that people, I've heard of people reading auras,
diagnosing
conditions, and also, as you say, interpreting a person's attitude or their position in terms of their perception of reality and stuff. From the colors that they're expressing.
Yes, definitely. And even with humans, if a human is generating a physical manifestation, a dis-ease, a broken bone, a stomach ache, it matters not, you will see in that energy field a darker area that always shows as a darker area in the energy field whenever there is some manifestation that is being generated. But yes, you can assess many different expressions through an energy field. And yes, the energy field is being generated by those energy centers. They radiate out and create that energy field that surrounds you. Yes.
Wow.
I have a question about similar, same kind of feeling. If you want to create something or solve something, say you have a concept you'd like to actualize, Sandra,
is the mic on?
I pushed the button.
Speak into mic.
So say you want to actualize something, or deliberately create, or deliberately manifest, but not on the physical plane yet, but on the plane we're talking about now. It's a physical plane, but a finer plane, correct? A more subtle plane. Not a plane, energy.
Boy.
I'm sorry. I'm using old 50-year-old terminology, which is energy flow. But what I was trying to grasp or find or have appear to me was a way to, say you wanted a new invention or a new way to solve a computer problem or a medical problem in your own body, right? Like your toe hurts. Could you use a technique or a methodology? Could you explain one that would help us, just the way you've described the energy work, to kind of congeal something that would be effective to go beyond the paradigm you currently hold? Say you had a toe problem and it hurt or it burned. Maybe in that case you could see the toe surrounded by cool water or ice cubes and the burning might subside, so you've solved that. But what if something is tougher to get a hold of? Is your body you're familiar with? Say it's a concept or idea you want to go beyond. Say it's a computer idea you want to move way beyond. You want a computer that operates in an entirely different way. How do you stretch into that paradigm or that state? What would be helpful? Am I getting
this? In relation to manipulating?
Any new idea, concept, solution to a problem, the end of a chapter of a book, the method to heal something in the body, any of these, where you have to move beyond the limitations, the little glass ceiling you have in your mind, your constructs.
In relation to manipulating energy?
Okay, that'll do, because I don't know how else to say. If I want a solution or a concept, how do I get to it? How do I make that leap? Is it through relaxation and... Because the word we use is blue skying or brainstorming and
imagination.
Thank you. Okay. Wow, it took a long time to get there. Okay.
Because that generates inspiration. If you use your imagination, remember, imagination is the expression, it is a communication, and it is the expression of everything that is known. Therefore, if you want to move beyond something that you view as a limitation, what do? Incorporate more information. How do you do that? Use your imagination, because there is no limit to the information that your imagination has. And in that, you want to create something new.
Yes.
And that is done through inspiration.
Inspiration
is generated first by imagination. You engage imagination and that sparks inspiration.
But now you say engage imagination, that gets a little challenging because there's like a feeling of a little imagery in there. You know, all right, so imagining is imaging. But to get to that place where here...
But image doesn't necessarily mean a picture.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh.
Because not everyone generates...
A picture.
Pictures.
Okay, I'll give you a very specific...
Some individuals access imagination through sensing.
Yes.
Or through impression. Some individuals engage imagination through words. Some individuals, many individuals, engage imagination through images. But images are not always generated in pictures. That just as a blind individual can image colors and be accurate.
Wow.
It isn't that they have a picture of a color, but they have a sense of a color, and therefore they can image a color without a picture of it. You can do the same with imagination. You don't necessarily have to have a picture. And in that, engaging your imagination allows you to move in the direction of giving yourself inspiration. And that is what allows you to generate new.
Do we have to trust the imagination arises, or is there a way to just say, I want to move into imagination now?
Oh, no, you can definitely intentionally
choose
it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Definitely. You do that when you daydream.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
That is what you are doing. You are intentionally engaging your imagination. You can intentionally engage your imagination at any moment, at any time.
Thank you.
You are very
Great.
Welcome.
This is Val. In terms of imagination, for me, things that I'm passionate about, when I engage doing them, and I tend to, daydream, then I can imagine things, different applications, do this or do that, to do something different to that particular, whatever I'm engaging. The actual doing of things that I like, and then that kind of sets a spark. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's, to just sit and say, I want to imagine, I have trouble with that. But when I'm doing, then it comes very easy.
And that would be merely differences.
Yes, exactly.
In relation to different individuals. Some individuals imagine much more easily when they relax. Some individuals imagine more easily when they are busy or they are doing. Some individuals imagine more easily if they give themselves an initial subject.
Yes.
Some individuals do it easily by drifting. It merely depends on the individual and what method you use to engage yourself.
I have another question. In terms of world awareness, are we at the 50% mark? I know everybody has a different level, but would we average? Would we be about at the 50% mark worldwide in awareness?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, wow, we
more
past the tipping point. Can you give us a figure?
Let's say speed up now.
Approximately 54%.
Excellent. Thank you.
What does that mean?
Precisely. I agree.
Yeah, what does that mean? That's kind of silly.
It doesn't have much meaning, I would express. And I'm not fond of these percentages, but many of you are. What I would say to you is much more than you realize, there are volumes and volumes of individuals throughout your world that are becoming more and more self-aware and are moving in directions of shifting in many different manners. And remember, shifting doesn't necessarily mean that you can only do that in one way. And individuals are also shifting that engage religion.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, let us not discount those individuals or dismiss them either, for they are shifting equally as much as anyone else. Yes.
For the sake of this, this is Mark. For the sake of this topic, can you define the self-awareness that you're talking about?
self-awareness is that expression of awareness that you recognize the interconnectedness of all consciousness, which is everything. There's nothing that isn't consciousness. Therefore, you recognize more and more the interconnectedness and therefore the expansiveness of yourself, and that you begin to recognize the lack of separation or singularity of yourself in relation to everything else that exists. Therefore, the more self-aware you become, recognizing that interconnectedness, which is more expansive reality, it is more inclusive reality. It is not that your reality is less real, but it is limited in what you see, in what you engage, in what you are aware of. But in being more self-aware, your reality becomes much more expansive and you stop compartmentalizing, which we will not discuss now because you don't understand that yet. But eventually we will be addressing to that subject. But at this point, that subject of compartmentalizing is a subject that you don't understand yet. It is too much a part of your reality. It is too intricate to your reality for you to see what it is. You are only at this point beginning to recognize constructs. And even with that, there's much of your reality that you still view isn't associated with constructs, which is incorrect because everything in your reality is associated with constructs. But you are beginning to generate more of a realistic grasp on that concept of constructs than you had previously. Compartmentalizing moves much beyond that.
Where's your babies at this
point? Not quite. No, I would express that you have expanded considerably and you are moving very quickly.
Yay.
Very quickly.
Are we still into the 30 to 50% range?
Oh, no, another percentage.
No,
you
hit this top.
In your awareness?
Yeah.
I would say moving more closer to that 50, yes. Definitely, you have been increasing that considerably. And much more quickly. You are moving more and more rapidly as time continues. Yes.
This is Denise. I couldn't help but notice you didn't announce the science wave.
Correct.
Didn't announce the what?
Science
wave.
Are we
still full swing?
We
all feel a shot.
I feel a shot.
Can you give us an update on the 9 children of Rose?
Ooh. In what capacity?
Any.
They exist.
Thank you.
No.
They are all alive. They are all continuing in your reality. And I would express that they are all continuing to generate an example in expressing that alteration of energy and rippling that in the same capacity as all of you do, but aiding in all of you also incorporating more of a shift in relation to that change in gender or energy.
Are they conscious of doing this?
Not entirely. They are aware of their energy being different. Yes, they are objectively aware of that. Are they aware of their effectiveness? I would say not more so than you are. Yes.
To revisit another old question in a fun way, you want... Oh, sorry.
Hi, this is Ken G. To revisit an old question in a fun way, you had several times expressed in the past, and I haven't been keeping up completely with all of the information. Have you ever expressed to us the name of the tribe, the small tribe that is already completely shifted? Have you ever expressed the name of that tribe?
The name?
Yes, the name of the tribe.
No.
Are they the Taino tribe hiding in Cuba right now?
No.
They're not the remainder of the Taino tribe. Well, they're very shifted people.
Yes. I would agree.
But that's not the same tribe.
No.
Are they... What continent are they on?
South America.
South America.
Ooh.
Brazil?
Brazil.
What country are they in?
Brazil.
Brazil. Oh, in the jungle. Oh, well, of course, no, they can hide in there pretty well. Have you ever seen that? Oh, you don't watch movies. Anyway, all right, never mind. Thank you. I was hoping he was a Taino. I'm a little disappointed. Because I'm very connected to them. That's okay.
Very well, my friends. I shall incorporate one more question.
A few months ago, you had stated or confirmed that the awareness of the world was doubling close to every month. So now we must be past every month in terms of the rate?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, no.
I would
still
express not. That it is maintaining.
Oh, okay. So it
that
hasn't
is a significant rate.
Okay.
I would express.
So it's not accelerating.
It is accelerating, but maintaining. That doesn't mean it is...
The rate of acceleration is the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
No.
He's
done.
Very well.
Thank you,
I express tremendous, tremendous loneliness to each and every one of you. Great encouragement in what you are accomplishing and what you have yet to be accomplishing. And then great supportiveness to each of you. And whatever obstacle you see you may have, remember that is likely not as large as you think it is. And all that you need to do is take one step different. In tremendous lovingness to each and every one of you, as always, my friends.